open your Bibles to Proverbs, Proverbs 22. We're going to look, I'm going to start this with a little caution, because we're going to look at a verse here, and as soon as I read it, some of y'all are going to say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Some of you are going to say, I already did that, and it didn't work. Some of you are going to say, I'm still trying that, and I got a lot of hope in that. Some of you are going to just say, why isn't Brother Welder preaching? So I can't control any of that, but I'm going to warn you that I believe God's given me a passage here. I didn't expect him to give me this passage, but I'm sure that he did. And he gave me some points out of it, and he's taught me a lot by going through it. And I know that no matter what your age range is, that you can get something out of this if you want it. It's here, okay? Let's read the verse. Chapter 22, the verse is real familiar. Verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yeah, there's a point on that. We'll get to it later. That's a great example. tell you what, this is some good stuff, and it's needed for every one of us. Don't leave on me yet. Don't leave on me yet. Let's pray and ask God to help here. Boy, do I need it. Father, I love church. I love this church, Lord, and been to other churches, and makes me love this one even more. I thank you for it. I thank you for our pastor. I thank you for the privilege it is to stand in this pulpit and to be able to preach tonight. Father, I know, without a doubt, you gave me this passage, and you've given me some points and some things I believe you want said. I know there's probably a bunch of stuff inside of me that shouldn't be said, and I pray that you'd guard my lips and allow me just to say the things that need to be said. And I know that you can speak through this, and you can help every one of us because you already helped me. So, Father, it's in your court. This is your court. It is your ball. You're up, Lord. I pray that you'll help, you'll bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. One of the first problems is, it's a problem text. One of the first problems is, a lot of us we've got a lot of hope in this verse. We've got some wayward children that were in church, and now they're trying to get as far away from church as they can get. And if any verse in this Bible counts, I want that one to work. Because it says when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And we hang on to that. Some of us also, have hung on to a verse like that, and it didn't happen. They're in the grave. It didn't happen. And so I say this to start off with. You turn to Proverbs chapter 22. You didn't turn to Promises chapter 22. Okay? This is not a promise from God. This is a proverb. A proverb is a general truth. A general truth. And this proverb has always just, every time I read it, every time I hear it quoted, I'm thinking, if it doesn't mean what I think it means, what does it mean, Lord? Has anybody else joined me in that? Okay? So we're going to kind of look at that a little bit tonight. And there's a thing that makes this thing, well, the thing that makes this thing either a curse or a blessing to you is that child's free will. It trumps all of this. You know, he can make choices. She can make choices. So what we want to do is I want to look at this verse, and we're going to break it down just into three general truths that I can guarantee you are truths, and they're in this verse. So let's look at this verse. The first part of this verse is train up a child. Train up a child. Boy, does the Bible have a lot to say about training up a child. Okay, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Some of y'all like those verses and some of you don't like those verses. And you know what? It's not required that you like them. Okay? But that's what the Bible says. It talks a lot about correction. Here's one. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Look at this. Our verse is train up a child. It says, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The way I read that, if we don't, we have a responsibility to train up a child. If we don't do it, it's not the child's shame, it's our shame. It's our shame. And every one of us, I know myself, I am bearing some shame from not doing a good job that I don't think I did a good job training up my child. Now, there's a lot of verses like that, and I could have just blistered you with all the rest of the real ones, but it's not needed. The point I want to make is there's one word that describes a train up a child, and it's in your Bible, and it's only in your Bible once. Okay, turn to Job chapter 36. We're going to come back and look at this verse, but go to Job 36. Train up a child. Job 36, look in verse 5. The Bible says, behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and in wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he does establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters, and be holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to, there's the word, discipline. Discipline. And commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spread their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. The word discipline in the dictionary, the first two definitions of discipline is education and instruction. This world has taken discipline and turned it into a dirty word. It's not what, that's why I couldn't say it first. I had to take you to Job because I want to tell you what the dictionary says, but you just saw what God says. Look back in verse 10. He openeth also their ear to discipline. That sounds like education and instruction, not a rod of correction. Okay, so a lot of us with the discipline thing, some of us do not like some of these verses in Proverbs because we have a disagreement with God on how to correct a child. This verse that we're looking at says, train up a child. And to train up a child, the first point, the first general truth is that it's going to require discipline. It's going to require discipline. And discipline is simply what God said here. He said, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. Verse 9. That's instruction. And also, besides instruction and education, there's one more part, and it's a part that the world doesn't like now. It's called consequences. It's called consequence. That's part of discipline. Look in verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. That's pretty simple. Consequence. Verse 12. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. You see, discipline is not a bad word. Discipline is what is needed to train up a child. Discipline is needed. We've already looked at the verse that says, a child left himself bringeth his mother shame. So we're supposed to do this work. And the work includes all three. It includes instruction, correction. It includes, it includes that rod of correction. It does. But it requires consequences. Now, if you're going to train up anything, and right now, for the first time in 10 years, we, Maureen and I, are training up a Rottweiler. Okay? He's 8 weeks old. Okay. And to train up a Rottweiler, we have learned that we just didn't have this knowledge built in us. Okay? I didn't come standard equipment. Part of the package over here is Rottweilers and how to deal with Rottweilers. So what do you think I've done in the last 15 years I've had Rottweilers? Besides having a little bit of experience, I've also read a book or two. Okay? I went and found a curriculum to train my Rottweiler. Does that make sense? Now, if you're going to train a child, do you think we ought to have a curriculum to train the child? Sure we should. And you've got it. It's in your lap. But let me show you something. It's where we get our instructions in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm trying to build this. Now, don't leave me yet. I know some of you are sitting there going, I've already raised my kids. They're gone. I don't want to hear this. Some of you are going, I don't have kids. And I don't want any. Okay? It still doesn't matter. I'm going to get here. There's something here for you. Okay? Or if you leave, don't slam the door. You'll start a stampede because everybody will go, well, they left. I can too. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Here's our curriculum, folks. Scripture. You got it in your lap. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That tells you what's right. For reproof. That tells you what's wrong. For correction, that tells you how to do right. For instruction in righteousness, tells you how to stay right. It's all there. It's all in the book. And that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you want to train up a child and have them thoroughly furnished, what's your curriculum? It's right here. So there's your instruction. And included in your instruction, not part of the sermon. I'm not going to go through all the beat them with a rod, they won't die, all that stuff. It's in here. It's in here. And I believe it's true. And it needs to be taken with a measure of common sense. But the first point, the first general truth that's in this passage is that if you're going to train up the child, you need discipline. You need the instruction. You need the correction. You need circumstances. Circumstances. I mean, can you imagine? Think about it. You take a child, and if I have instruction and I have circumstances, okay? If all I ever do is give the child instructions and reward them for doing them, but there's never any consequences when they don't do them, is that a mess? Sure it is. Stand by the checkout at Walmart or HEB. It's there. Okay, so there's one that's been given instruction with no consequences. It's just as bad over here. You give them, it's nothing but consequences. And there's never any instruction of what they're supposed to do, what they didn't do, what they should. You see what I mean? Raising this Rottweiler right now, we need to be just as it's mind-boggling how serious you have to be about all of this. Because we go out in the mornings and we've got a little puppy that we've let out of the crate. He's out in the backyard and all the world is about him. And you walk out and you sit down, we're going to drink a cup of coffee, and we do it as an exercise so that the dog learns that we invite him to come to us. The dog doesn't know that. All he wants to do is jump in your lap, scratch your legs, chew on the chair. He's just in a fit. And we have to give him instruction. We tell him no. We give him correction. We put him down, And within, now he understands. We go out in the backyard in the morning to drink coffee, and he doesn't attack us. He doesn't jump in our lap. Why? I've given him instruction, I've given him correction, and I've given him consequences when he didn't do it right. You see how this works? Now, what if I went out in the backyard and he jumped on me and I just kicked him? And then the next time he jumped on him, I kicked him. I'd be in here in about 6 months telling you how I got him chained to a post in the center of the backyard because he went crazy. All he ever got was consequences. He never got any instruction. Brings to mind, I really think Texas ought to pass a law where you must raise a Rottweiler before you have kids. And be tested. You laugh when you go online to buy a pedigree dog. Many of the breeders will not sell it to you until they come inspect your house. They want to make sure you're worthy. What if God did that to you? Wow. No, but the first point I want to make about this verse is the train up the child part. I want you to understand that it requires discipline. And God has clearly shown it in the book and clearly wants us to do it. And the truth of the matter is, I'm going to keep using a little dog puppy. And it's not fair to compare him with humans because he's a lot smarter. So you just have to do the little curve, okay? But this dog is far more happier and at peace when he knows the rules and he knows the consequences. He has a great place to live, a great place to live. Second point. Go back to the verse. We'll take a look at that verse again. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. The next part is, in the way he should go. In the way he should go. That's one of those parts that gets me, in the way he should go. Now if this is a proverb and not, it's just a general truth and it's not a promise, then what does that mean? And in my Bible, next to that verse, that train up a child in the way he should go, I've wrote Comanche children. Isn't that strange? But I've read several books on Comanches because it intrigued me. It's more of a local tribe of Indians and all the stuff in that. And several of the books go through how they train up a Comanche child. And it's very, very interesting. When a child is born into a Comanche tribe or a Comanche family, first of all, he is nurtured and loved and accepted by everybody in the tribe. He doesn't just have this one little family. He's got it all. And that child is allowed to grow and be a child. Okay, now we're talking Comanches. If you don't go hunt, you starve. Okay, there's no HEB, there's no Lone Star card. Okay, this is real deal. Wake up every morning, survive so you can go to bed that night. With enemies and no food and wild animals and all those things. But a child is allowed to grow up and be a child. But a young boy learns, maybe one of his first tasks will be to go help collect firewood. Okay? Then he's given games to play as a child, but those games are designed, he has a little childlike bow and arrow. And he has childlike things that he's going to grow into and be real. So a young Comanche child grows up, he's got everybody concerned with the way that he grows up because to the Comanches it's an honor for that young child to grow up and be a Comanche warrior. And so they've got an interest in his life. As he grows up, now he gets old enough that he can mess with a horse or something like that, then that's all he does.
He gets to ride horses all day. And he gets to learn to shoot his bow and arrow off of a horse. And he gets to learn how to ride a horse sideways and stand. That's what he does. He's not required to do anything else. He learns to ride a horse. He learns to shoot a bow. At first, they just have a little ring, and they go around with their little bows, and they spin the ring, and he practices shooting through the bow. And the rings get smaller and smaller. And they practice and they practice. And then one day he gets a real bow and then he starts practicing this. You know, a Comanche child, through all of this, and I could go on and on and on about all the details of it, but here's the gist of it. He's born into a system that truly wants to see him succeed. There's an honor in that. And he is trained up in the way he should go. Meaning, he's trained up in the life skills that he needs to be a Comanche warrior. Okay, so I got to thinking, you know, maybe that verse means that we should be training up our young men and young women in the way that they should go, you know, teaching them certain things to do so that when they get older, they will have a skill, or they'll have a way to make a living, they'll have those kind of practical skills. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I don't think that's what that's saying. I think what that's saying is, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. We look at that as, here's this curriculum or something, and we need to teach him certain skills. I think it means we're supposed to train him in the way he should go, meaning we should be an example. We should be training him in the way he should go. You would be amazed at how much your child learns from you. Okay? What are you training him in the way he should go? Yes, 24/7. Yes, we are. You're training him good or you're training him bad. You're training him by example 24 hours a day. It's called your testimony. So, you know, the first point here was that we needed discipline to train children. The next point is we need direction, the way you should go, to train children. I'm gonna play like Pastor. Let me get two linens and a big boy. Come over here. Okay, stand right here. We've got three proud parents. Okay? Isn't that beautiful? Now, I just want you to think. This first one here, now he's going to train his child up in the way he should go. And he's training by example. Okay, this is a lost, worldly man. Plain and simple. He doesn't know the Lord. You know, Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't know any of that. But he's got a kid, and he wants to train him up in the way he should go. I mean, that's a natural thing. How do you think the way he should go, he's going to train him? Worldly. It's a no-brainer, okay? We got over here, we got a spiritual giant. Literally. Okay? Now, this man is saved, born again, child of God, and guess what? He's on fire for the Lord. Okay? He can't get enough Bible. He can't do enough at church. He wakes up every day and wants to do exactly what God wants him to do. Okay? How do you think he's going to train his child up in the way he should go? His example, his testimony, has got a pretty good shot at fulfilling that verse, right? Training a child up in the way he should go. Pretty good. Here's where we got most of the problem. Okay? This guy is born again, saved, child of God. He's here every Sunday. Okay? And that's about it. Okay? He's got 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. And he's playing church and he's living in the world. How do you think he's going to train his child? His child sees every bit of that. His child sees every bit of that. And so if these three guys are going to train up a child in the way they should go, them being the testimony, them being the example, if you were a child, which one would you want as your daddy? Yeah, the good guy, the big guy. Yeah, nothing personal, okay? So if you're going to train up a child, you need, let me see. Yeah. Now, we explained that your testimony is this train up a child in the way he should go. Okay, now, parents, both of you have got to have the same testimony. Both of you got to be on the same page. Oh my goodness, when we have this little puppy out on that back porch, and Randy wants this puppy to obey. And Randy doesn't care if he's unhappy about it. And Randy doesn't care if he cries. And he has got the cutest face. He is actually cuter, this much cuter than Emma. He is. I can't stand up here and lie. Okay? And when he sits down with the pooty face, because you told him no, and he curls them eyes up at you, it's hard. That's hard. Maureen, on the other hand, she wants him to be as her friend, okay? And she don't like telling him no. And she doesn't like that consequences thing. You know, he didn't get his nap. That's why he's acting like that. You see this? And I'm telling you, it's in every family. I don't know why God does that, but he puts both kinds together. It's somewhere in the Bible, but it happens. You know, if you're going to train them up in the way they should go, you've got to be on the same page. You've got to be on the same page. And wow, I don't know. You know, in the book of Acts, the church gets together for the first time. And they basically don't even know what they're doing. Jesus Christ has left, and they're trying to figure this thing out. But, you know, there's a phrase that keeps going over and over and over. In one accord. They were in one accord. They may have not knew what they were doing, but buddy, they were all together on it. Okay? That's parenting. That's training up a child. You may not have an idea what you're doing, but boy, if y'all are both on the same page, you got something to work with. Does it make sense? Okay, so we've got, if you're going to train up a child, you need, what do you need? You need direction and you need discipline. Okay? Oh, I forgot one of these. Both parents must be headed in the same direction. We had the puppy, it's been a couple of weeks ago, brand new, you know, and trying to crate train the puppy so that right now while I'm here, our puppy is at home in a crate and happy about it. It's a safe place for him to be. He understands the boundaries and he likes the air conditioning. And he's good with it because we haven't used that a way to punish him, okay? But the first time we decided, you know, we've got a crate, we got a huge backyard, and we've got this dangerous swimming pool thing. And the puppy, if the puppy was to fall in the pool and not know how to get out, that's not good. And so there's a training process on putting the puppy in, throwing the puppy in, and letting the puppy figure out where the steps are so he can get out. That's all aside. So we've got this big backyard, and we got this little big crate, but we've got this third place, and it's called the laundry room. And it has linoleum, and it's got a door, and it's got a kitty door, you know, a little doggy door, kid, you know, and I think, well, that's a good place to kind of put him when we don't know what to do with him. So the first time we put him there, okay, it wasn't very long, I hear Maureen, and she says, come here. That's never good. And she's got this Rottweiler, and she goes, he pooped all over the place. I got to take him out and clean him up. and or she said, "Would you like to take him out and clean him up?" No, I should have. I said, "No, I'll clean up the room." Bad mistake. It was. I don't know how he did that much and how he spread that much, but we were not on the same page that day. Okay, and I chose the word. I chose the heavy end of that log. It was not good. The third thing, back to the verse, Proverbs 20. Let me get there. Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child, that's discipline, in the way he should go, that's direction. And then this part, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Man, that's hard. You know, if God wanted this to be a promise, he would have just took that, the when he is old out. And then it would have read, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. Wouldn't that be cool? Because that's the way we kind of read the verse. But it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. I got, you know, in this verse, it doesn't say in there that it says to train up a child in the way he should go and then stop for a while. And then when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It doesn't say you stop. And so if you're going to train up a child, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How long of a project do you think this might be? My friend, this is a long-term project. That's why that's when he is old, he will not depart from it's in there. You know, I'm a long-term project. You're a long-term project. For somebody. For God, if nobody else. But I truly believe that this verse is talking about when he is old, he will not depart from it, that this training up of a child is a long-term project. I remember my two girls, and, you know, I'm old enough that, you know, they had, like, real diapers. Does anybody know what those are? Yeah. And diaper pins and... And so when you had a poopy diaper, buddy, it was an issue, okay? It wasn't folded up in some plastic and no, this thing was for real. It had a life of its own. And I thought, foolishly, that if we could ever get out of those diapers and that formula, we could sit back, take this thing easy. You know, I'd have it whipped, you know? Just if I could get out of diapers and formula, I'd have it whipped. Wrong. It's a long-term project. This Rottweiler, you know, the last one we had, old Roman, he made it a little bit more than 10 years. And the last time we walked him, we still had some training there. There were still some issues there that we worked on with him. It's a long-term project. And the problem is we all get discouraged, and that's why we hang on to that verse, because we think, well, I did some training, and he's going to come back. He's going to come back. This is a long-term project. Everybody in this room is a long-term project. We've got some young people down here that we pray for constantly as a staff. We pray for as a church. Every one of them, I'm looking at you. You're a long-term project. We did some research. We had Tony call around to other pastors and say, look, we got some real wicked teenagers. And they are just totally out of control. They don't listen to anything we tell them. What do you do? And Brother Peacock, he wrote back. He said, Brother, don't worry about it. You won't know what they're going to turn out. You won't even begin to know what they're going to look like until they're 40. Can you believe that? You better believe it, because everybody is a long-term project. It's a long-term project. But that doesn't mean you give up. That doesn't mean you give up. You see, there's a verse here. It says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. And I've taken that in the past. Well, there comes a time where my job's done. You know, there's no more hope. I've chastened them, and I've told them what to do, and I've corrected them, and I've given them consequences. But it says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. So there comes a time when it's just not doable to chasten them. Does that make sense? Lou Ann, have you spanked either one of these boys today? No. She said, yeah. I said, cool. Okay. Did you want to? No, don't answer. Okay. There comes a time where it doesn't work like it used to. Okay? And you know that. The ones that have had children, they get to an age where you just don't bend them over your knee and get the job done anymore. Okay? There comes a time where that doesn't work. Is there ever a time where God can't chasten them? No. Not at all. So this that chasten them while there is still hope just means that you do what you can while you can. The verse didn't say chasten them while there is still hope and then give up. And just give it to God and forget about it and claim on to Proverbs 22:6, and they'll come back when they get through messing around. Because that's the way we read that verse. It's almost intended that you're going to raise somebody up, you're going to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you're going to train them up in the way they should go, and then it's not written in there, but it's meant, they're not going to do it. But when they get old, they are going to do it. That's the way we've hung on to that verse. I mean, I've done it. And that's not what it's saying. This long-term project, don't give up because God can still do the chastening. And He will still do it. What's our part? We got to keep on praying. We got to keep on praying. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, Paul says, instructing those that oppose themselves. If you've raised a child, you're going to run into that. Instructing those that oppose themselves. You know what that means? You can see that they're doing stuff that is not good for them. They're opposing themselves. And you're supposed to instruct them. What a hard job. It's a hard job. I know a lot of you are trying to go through it right now. I know I've been through it. It's a hard job. But we started out with the part that we're supposed to train up a child. Shame on us if we don't. And so we're not supposed to stop. We're supposed to keep praying. We're supposed to keep hoping that somehow the prodigal father, he didn't give up when the kid went south. Okay? He didn't give up. He kept praying, I guess, and he kept waiting. And he was a blessed one. His son came to himself and came back. But I can see examples in the church. I can see examples in my life where we can actually see folks that are opposing themselves and we're trying to instruct them. And that has got to be one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life. Okay? I just want to say one more thing about this. You know, if you use discipline in training up a child and you do your best to instruct them with the curriculum that God gave you and you show them circumstances, not only the ones you're going to give them, but the one God's going to give them if they go wrong. You use the discipline key and then you use the direction key. You do your best that you got you straight and headed in the right way. Because if you're not headed in the way he should go, he ain't going to be either. Okay? And that means both of you. So let's say you've got the discipline right and you got the direction right. This last point, when he was old, that's devotion. That's devotion. You got to be devoted to this thing. You can't give up. But if you did all those three, you know what you'd have and what that child would have? When they finally do come to themselves, guess what? They know which direction to head. They know where the right place is. The prodigal son didn't have to get a GPS or Google where good stuff was, where righteousness was, where his dad was. You see, if we do our job the best we can, one day they're going to wake up and come to themselves, and guess what? They've got a foundational truth. They've got some truths in there that they can go back to. Does that make sense? The crime is this, and I have two daughters that are wayward. Wayward. And I, through ignorance, through whatever you want to call it, didn't train them up in the way they should go. Oh, I did. Everybody does. I trained them up in the way they should go, not the right way. Okay? And to this day, unless something has changed, I don't believe that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay? All that being said, one day they're going to come to themselves. I pray. I haven't given up. They're going to come to themselves. I pray that there's somebody like you around there to point them to the right direction. Because they don't have this. Is it best to have this? Yes. But if they don't have this, that's where you come in. That's where every one of you come in. From grandma to we're not having kids, we hate them, and we don't want any. And everybody in between. You've got a responsibility because God put 22:6 in Proverbs and not just for young couples. It's not under the young couple heading. It's for Christians. And we all have a responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, that means we don't give up, he will not depart from it. Meaning, if he's going to depart from something, he has to know where he came from. Do you get this? It's an abstract thought, but I want you to get the fact that there are three truths in that chapter, in that verse, that have eluded me, but I can grab onto those three and I can live with them. And so here's the deal. You said all that stuff, and hey, that was cool. You had three D's and you expounded that passage. What do we do with this? I got to think, what do we do with this? Because, I said enough that, very few people left. So y'all are still here. And, we got a church family here. I mean, I tell you about my girls and they're wayward and I haven't had contact with them. But God's given me lots of kids. They're all here. This is my family. And I believe it's the same for every one of y'all. Whether you have kids or not, there's plenty of them here forever. You can have all you want here. Okay? We can sign you up. So what do we do with this, church? Well, we have a discipline. Every one of us has an obligation to train up a child. Every one of us in that obligation has the obligation to instruct and to have circumstances. Right? You can shake your head. It's okay. I'm not asking you to go beat somebody else's kid. That's not what I'm saying. We all, as a church, should be heading in the same direction. Step in step. There's not a child in here that should be able to see anyone in here different anywhere else. That you may not be dressed the same, but you're the same when they see you at Walmart, they see you wherever, you're the same. That's an obligation that every one of us should have, to be able to understand the discipline part, the instruction part of this, the education part of this, understand the directional part of this. And I tell you what, every one of us ought to be like those Comanche Indians. We ought to take a little pride and a little honor that the folks that grow up in this church turn out to be right. That's what we ought to do as a church. I want to just make one, what I think why the Lord took me to this passage. We've got Brother Welder, we've got me, we've got Tony. And you know what? We've got these same struggles with the church. Discipline. We give instruction and We're required to have consequences when folks don't do what they're supposed to be doing. And it affects the church. You understand? So those are things that we pray about and we talk about and we discuss. Okay? Direction. Oh my. We're in the spotlight. If we're not all headed in the same direction, step in step, one of you should be able to come to me and get the same answer that you get from Pastor. And a lot of you try it. Or you should get the same answer out of Tony as you get from me. We need to be in one accord. Or this thing isn't going to work. Discipline, direction, devotion. We battle with this because it's kind of like at home. You've got kids, mom and dad. And it's just by the grace of God that mom and dad haven't got mad at the same kid at the same time. You know what I mean? It'd be bloody. But it always seems, by the grace of God, that dad gets mad at him and mom's there to take up. Or mom gets mad at him and dad's there to take up. That's the way it always works, and that's good. The ones that don't, they end up on Dateline or 2020, okay? It's the same here, folks. It's the same here. We get discouraged because a lot of times we take a short view at some ugly stuff and we don't understand this is a long-term project. And we pray about it, and we go in circles around it, and we have a good time doing it. But I'm telling you, it's hard. And so I know that's hard. I know what I'm asking you is hard. But we as a church need to all get on the same page, and we need to. That verse means a lot to this church. It means a lot to the kids in this church. And like I said to begin with, there's not a one of you that still ain't needing some training, including me. Got it? Good, let's pray. Father, I thank you for, I thank you for dealing with me on the passage here. Lord, I've fallen short in a lot of these areas in my own personal raising of my children. And I know there's others in the room that could say the same. I know there's others in the room that could say, Lord, I did the absolute best I could. And boy, I'd like to be in that crowd, but I'm not. But I know one thing, Lord, that I'm devoted. I'm not going to give up on them. I'm not going to give up on my kids. I'm not going to give up on their kids. And I'm going to count on the fact that you know how to chasten them because you love them more than we do. And I'm going to count on the fact that you're going to help every one of us get to the end of this and give you the glory for it. And so whatever it takes, Lord, let's get it done. But I pray that this will draw us closer together as a church, and it'll draw us closer together to you, and that Lord, we can. It's almost shameful to pray that we could be like a bunch of Comanche Indians, but truly they had a lot of honor and a lot of devotion and a lot of pride in trying to get their children to grow up right, and I want us to have the same thing, Lord. I pray that you'd help us do that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.